Danger signs of apostasy. Apostasy is turning away from your religion, turning away from God, turning away from the church. And so we want to look at that basically abandoning your faith, basically what apostasy means. And 1 Timothy 4 verses 1 through 2 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." Now that's turning away from God, and we're going to be looking specifically at danger signs of departing from the faith. There are things that we can look at and recognize are a problem that will lead us away from Christ and our faith in Him. And so we're going to be looking at a number of different scriptures and things that will be danger signs that we may have. Hebrews 3 and verse 12 says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." And so we need to be aware of the danger signs, the things that if we're doing, we know it's heading toward apostasy, turning away from God, abandoning our faith. The first one we want to consider, and sometimes these come very early in our conversion. I've known people who said, you know, "I'm ready to become a Christian. I want to be baptized." And yet they never darkened the doors of the church building again. So it came very quickly with them. And if we're not careful with our new Christians, it can come very quickly with them. First of all is loss of appetite for the Word. You don't have a desire to learn the will of God any longer. And that's a loss of appetite for it. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby." So it says we need to want the Word of God like a baby wants milk. Desire for that Word. And if we lost an appetite for studying the Bible, then it's a danger sign. And many times that applies to our coming together for Bible study here at the building. That gives us the set opportunity to spend some time studying the Bible. That should not be the only time that we open our Bible. But we need to have an appetite for the Word. And when we start losing our appetite for the Word, and we don't hear what the Bible says anymore, then we're losing our faith. And in essence, it's like those who were hearing Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, and they stopped up their ears. And they didn't want to hear it anymore. And so sometimes we get to that point, it's a danger sign. When we don't want to be in Bible study anymore, we don't want to be studying the Word, we don't open the Bible, except perhaps on Sunday morning. So a loss of appetite for the Word is one of the danger signs of departing from God. Neglecting prayer. John's always encouraging us to pray more and pray for each other. And when we start neglecting prayer, then that's an indication that we're leaving the faith, abandoning our faith. Luke 18:1, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart." So Jesus said we ought to always pray and not lose heart, not give up praying. Even though we may not see the answer right then, we need to keep praying to let God know how important this is to us. And He may not answer it the way we want Him to answer it. And sometimes that's the reason we give up on praying. We didn't get the answer we wanted. Paul said he prayed to the Lord 3 times that his thorn in the flesh would depart from him. And each time the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so we need to continue to pray in spite of the answer that we get not being what we want. God always answers prayer. He just may not answer it the way we want him to answer it. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says later, wait. And so we need to not neglect our prayer. And when we start neglecting our prayer, then it's a danger sign of us abandoning the faith. And we need to have regular times of prayer. And we generally pray for each meal. And if you pray when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, there's five times in the day that you would be praying to God and being thankful to him. Do not neglect your prayer life. Then being absent from worship, we indicated this on the Bible study, not being here for Bible study, but Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And so we need not to neglect our coming together, our assemblies, and being absent from worship, because that's a danger sign. When we start stopping attending worship, that's a danger sign that we're headed toward apostasy. I've seen it time after time where here's someone maybe who's always attended every service. They hear Bible study on Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, Wednesday night Bible study. They're always there. But then they start dropping off on Wednesday night. All of a sudden they're not coming to class on Wednesday night anymore. And that should be a danger sign, because the next thing they're going to do is they're going to stop on Sunday night or stop on Sunday morning class. And then ultimately they'll stop coming at all. And so we need to recognize these danger signs of us starting to depart from the faith. Then non-involvement. People just don't want to get involved. In the door at the last minute and out the door at the first minute after we're closed. Just not wanting to get involved. Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so each part needs to do its share. That means you, if you're a Christian, you're in the body of Christ, you're a member here, then you need to be doing your part to help the body to grow. And that may be various things that you may do. There are physical things that need to be done that can be done to help prevent others who are doing other things from having to do those things. So it may be picking up paper that you see. Anything that you see that needs to be done. Ivan recently decided to do the edging around the building. And Debbie goes around and puts the songbooks back in the song racks usually on a Sunday morning. And so there are all sorts of things that can be done. And the apostles talked about getting these men to serve as what we call deacons today. And so they picked out these men to handle the physical things that left them more time to do the spiritual things. And there are times I see things that need to be done around the building. And if I have to do them, then it takes me away from things I could be doing of spiritual nature. And the elders the same way. And so non-involvement, when we just don't want to get involved, we don't go to special activities that might be helpful to us, even socially. We're having a potluck today, opportunity for you to sit and eat with people and visit with them. and to learn more about each other in those visits. So we need to get involved in every way that we can in the church and the church work. Then a critical spirit. Another danger sign is when we start criticizing the church and criticizing our leaders. In Galatians 5, verses 13 through 15, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." And so we don't need to have a critical spirit. Don't need to allow ourselves to just be criticizing everything all the time. And there are people sometimes that do that. That the only thing they do is look for something to criticize. I think I mentioned a few years ago when Ed was secretary that I saw this article in the bulletin once that said, "We try to put something for everyone in the bulletin, make sure everyone is able to see something that they want to see and know about." And said, "I put mistakes in here for those who are just always looking for mistakes." So the mistakes in the bulletin are there on purpose for those who are just always looking for mistakes. So we need to be careful of a critical spirit. We need to, on the other hand, have praise. Paul talks about to the Philippians, anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Get away from that critical spirit of always looking for things wrong and things to criticize about people in the church or the church itself. Critical spirit is an indication of danger of departing from the faith. The lack of respect for the truths of God's word. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 through 12. Paul said, "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." When we don't respect the word of God, when we don't accept the truths that are there, that are clear to us, and we choose to reject that and go off and do our own thing, then that's a very serious problem. Matter of fact, I think I said once, this is the most frightening scripture that I know of in the Bible. And that's because if we reject the truth of God, God will allow us to believe something that is not true. And so people can get to the point that they're rejecting the truth of God and they're going to believe whatever they want to believe. They're going to develop their own concept of righteousness if they don't respect the truth of God's word. And so they set up their own righteousness rather than submitting to the righteousness of God. We must respect the word of God. And when we stop respecting the word, we're heading our way toward departure. There are whole groups of people who have departed from the faith because they did not love the truth. Many false teachers, many false congregations, many false churches that have rejected the truth of God. And they've departed from the faith, and they will be lost because of that. No matter how much they say, as Jesus said, "Did we not say to you, Lord, Lord," and said, doesn't matter, that we're going to have to do the will of God. And when we refuse to do that will of God, then we're going to be lost. He said, "Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?" So these are people who claim to be working for God. And yet he's going to say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you because you rejected the word of God and chose to set up your own concept of what you wanted to do in your worship to God rather than submitting to the truth of God's word. Danger sign of apostasy, when we start lacking devotion to the word of God. No concern for others. When we start saying, I'm not really concerned about others, I'm just concerned about myself. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only to his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And so when we're not concerned about others, it's a danger sign for us. When we start wanting what we want and not being concerned about others, then we have a problem. We're going to be eating the potluck. You're going to take that last piece of chicken, not be concerned about the others? It reminds me of a story. This woman is on her deathbed, and her husband's sitting by her side and saying, you know how much I love you. And his wife said, I know. And he said, you know, I always showed my love to you because I always took the heel in the loaf of bread so you wouldn't have to eat it. And she said, yes, and said, that's the piece I always wanted. Lack of communication there. Sometimes we show our concern for others in ways that they don't recognize is something that they really wanted or needed. But we need to be concerned about others and their welfare and their well-being. Sometimes it's just a little thing like parking out here where somebody parks in the middle on the side of the street here and don't leave room for others then to be able to park. Four people can park there if we leave the proper room, but sometimes we park in the middle rather than parking on the ends, and we don't leave room for others. Just little things like that sometimes mean a lot. And just lack of concern for others is a danger sign of our losing our faith. More ties to the world than to the church. 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17 says, do not love the world or things of the world. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Loving the world and the things of the world, Paul tells the Corinthians, do not be deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. So if we're spending our time with people of the world, we're going to be developing worldliness in our lives if we're not very careful. And so when we start having more ties to people of the world than we do people of the church, it's a danger sign. And I've known people that have been pulled away from the church because their friends, their tight, close relationships were not people in the church, but rather people of the world, and they eventually were pulled away from their faith. More treasure laid up on earth than in heaven. And that's a very real problem for us, I think, today. We are the rich of the world, even if we are on welfare, even if we are living on Social Security. We are in the top 3% of the world. We don't feel like that way. We look around us and we see all these millionaires and billionaires, and we struggle to put food on the table. But nothing like 97% of the world. When you stop and think, and you think about all of those people in all those places that are suffering and in need of daily food, and yet we have daily food. And so, more treasure laid up on earth than in heaven. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Story is told, of course, it's a preacher story, I'm sure, to illustrate a point, because this would not happen in reality. But the story is told, this man died and went to heaven, and St. Peter's showing him around heaven. Now, all these beautiful castles that people are living in, and such wonderful lives they're living. And then he noticed as they went further and further, the housing got less and less elaborate. And finally he got down to his, and it's just a cardboard hut. And he said, what about all those castles that we passed? You know, why are they living like that? And all I get's a cardboard hut. And St. Peter said, well, we build these things out of what you send up here to us, and you just didn't send us very much. So we need to be laying up treasure in heaven. And that's done by being obedient to the Word of God. So we are in danger if we have more treasure laid up on earth than we do in heaven. We need to be sure we're laying up that treasure in heaven. And then knowingly disobeying God's Word. In Hebrews 10, verses 26 through 29, this is immediately after, by the way, the verse that says, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together, but encourage one another as you see the day approaching. So this is what it said for, so it's reflecting on that, not forsaking the assembling. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? That's talking about those who forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But it applies in anything where we're disobedient to the will of God. We must not knowingly disobey God's word. And I've heard people say, I know the Bible says this, but. That but can get you in a lot of trouble. We must be obedient to the word of God. And we can't say, well, I know it says this, but I don't think God's going to hold me accountable for this. I think he'll let me go with this. A lot of people thought that. A lot of people died. And a lot of people will die because they think that they can not obey certain parts of the Word of God and disobey other parts. So, are you exhibiting any of the danger signs of apostasy? Loss of appetite for the Word of God? Neglecting prayer in your life, being absent from worship, not being involved with the church, having a critical spirit, lack of respect for the truth of God's word, no concern for others, more ties to the world than to the church, more treasures laid up on earth than in heaven, and knowingly disobeying God's word. There are probably other danger signs of apostasy. But those are important for us to consider and to ask ourselves, am I in danger of departing from the faith? Is it danger that I'm leaving Christ and I'm not drawing closer to God but going further away from him? If you feel like that's true in your life, then you need to make the correction. It may be that you've never started your Christian life. You have never been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And you need to repent of your sins and confess him as your Lord and Master and be willing to be buried with him in baptism so that you can be raised to walk in newness of life, having all of your sins forgiven in the past and starting to live for God and only being responsible for the sins that you commit after that point, of which you can repent and confess. And God will forgive you of those as we recognize our sin. So if we can help you to be assured of your home in heaven, And be assured that you're not departing from God, but you're growing closer to Him. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.